Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X. A great ways to stay connected to her. Also Facebook. Pretty much everything. All the social media pages. She does, and her team does an incredible job on social media. So check her out anywhere at Radio Craig C. If for some reason you want to follow the idiot who occasionally gets to fill in on this fancy show, that would be me. All right, let's play this. This is Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche answering a question about the Epstein files being a done deal. This is mission accomplished. We've released everything. A ton of stuff is out there. None of it ever implicated Trump for doing anything wrong, which is all that Democrats cared about. They didn't care about finding any of the co-conspirators who helped Jeffrey Epstein abuse children. Like, that didn't matter to them. They only really cared about getting Trump. That didn't happen. Some people might have lost their jobs because of how poorly this was all done, but it is over now. This is according to the new acting attorney general.
We did. Now, the Epstein files, you'd agree, not handled well. And I don't, first of all, I have never heard President Trump say that the attorney general was, that anything that happened to her had anything to do with the Epstein files. And so, look, but the Epstein files has been a saga that's lasted for the entire, for the past year. And what happened when the president signed the Transparency Act is the Department of Justice has now released all the files with respect to the Epstein saga. And the Attorney General Bondi and I appeared in front of Congress voluntarily a couple weeks ago to answer any questions they had. We have made every single congressman, senator available to come and see any document, redacted, unredacted, that they want. And so I think that to the extent that the Epstein files was a part of the past year of this Justice Department, it will, should not be a part of anything going forward.
I think the biggest thing that he said there at the end, my mother just texted me that I'm not an idiot. I am a millennial, and my mom listens to everything I do in radio, and she just told me I'm not an idiot. Thanks, Ma, for that. That was very nice of you. I was sort of joking. Anyway, let's do this. That's the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche. My mother just distracted me on a national radio show. I love the end thing he said there. I love when he said that any politician who has any desire to see anything, whether it's redacted or the unredacted version, because, of course, mainstream media and all the outlets that want to pretend something is being hidden that involves Trump, any of that stuff, if any of that's, you know, potentially there, you can come look at it. We'll show you the names of victims that we have to redact publicly to protect these people, but you can see anything you want. And so the Epstein file saga, at least as it relates to Trump, should be over. Does that mean there aren't people who probably should be arrested? I think there are. I actually think what's really interesting about this story is some of the conversations that are going on that seem to demonstrate that somebody somewhere, and I think Thomas Massie of all people is the one saying this now, is alluding to the idea that Bondi was gotten to. I think that's the way they say it. They got to her and they told her that she had to protect people. When it came to the Epstein stuff, that doesn't mean that Trump got to her. That means somebody else might have gotten to her. This is a little bit of an interview on BBC News talking about this with Thomas Massie. I did think this was pretty interesting.
Are you confident you will see that?
I don't know if we're going to see it in this administration.
Why do you say that?
Because Pam Bondi has, you know, she's been so against this. I would say from the beginning, but in the beginning, I think she earnestly was ready to release files. And then I think she wasn't in on the joke when they gave her those binders that had nothing in it. Then she found out she looked like a joke and she shot off the angry letter to the FBI. But at some point, somebody got to Pam Bondi and said, it's your job to cover this.
Somebody got to her. I think Massie is probably trying to allude to it being Trump, but that's not what I think. I do think there's a chance that a Democrat, whether it's Eric Swalwell, and there are still rumors that there's some sort of connection between Bondi and Swalwell, and she was trying to protect him from some stuff. Whoever it might be, It seems like Bondi might have been playing a little bit too closely with the establishment that is D.C. and how terrible it is. You know what's interesting about this, too, though? I was talking to a local politician here in Texas, in Houston, where I live, and he was saying that he was in a certain room with Republican voters when the news of Pam Bondi's firing was announced, and they weren't all happy about it. There were people who weren't really sure what to think of it. And I wonder how many people actually feel that way, because I don't know a lot of individuals that thought Bondi was doing a good job. I just wonder if turmoil in general is something that might confuse some people, might make some people worried that something is bad or going on that could eventually hurt the Trump administration in some way. But I love the idea that Lee Zeldin is being touted for this job, too. I meant to play this audio later, but let's go ahead and jump it to the front of the line and play it now. Lee Zeldin has done a great job with the EPA. He's done a great job fighting with senators and all kinds of politicians about his goal to root out waste, fraud, abuse, all this stuff. It's terrible that we see all the time in D.C. Let's play a little bit of this. This is an interaction from a few weeks ago, maybe a little longer than that, between Lee Zeldin and Sheldon Whitehouse, where the Green New Scam came up and all the ways that Lee Zeldin was removing any of that waste from the EPA.
I conducted an individual review of everything, and that concept doesn't work for you.
When did you conduct an individualized review of 781 grants?
We have a zero tolerance.
Will you show me your schedule?
We inherit something. You don't care about wasting money.
Will you show me your schedule?
You don't care about wasting money, but the Trump administration does, Senator.
Will you show me your schedule?
Our schedule's publicly released. We don't put on the schedule every single moment.
Will you show me your schedule to prove your
assertion? By the way, he said it's publicly released. So the answer to the question is yes. You can see all the schedule, any of the schedule, whatever you want. That would be great. But nonetheless, I just love this. And this goes on for another 2 minutes where he's yelling at the guy saying that we want to get rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse that you seem to be such a big fan of, that a whole bunch of your people seem to be such a big fan of. We want that to go away, and we want it to go away ASAP. And so I'm a big fan of the entirety of that conversation, to say the very least. And I think that if it is Zeldin, and I don't know for sure that it will be, that seems like a pretty good pick. All right, a different thing out there that seems valuable. CNN is stunned by how great job numbers are. This is obviously a thing that means the economy is going well, that a lot of Trump policies are going well. I love when they struggle to accept that. It's not that they're not admitting it. They're saying it on their television station. But you can tell that some of the people in the room when they report these things, especially when they report them live, are like, why? Why is this happening? Why is he succeeding? We want our society to be terrible because we hate Trump that much. We want everyone in America to be in pain of some kind. Here we go.
I mean, the expectation was, what, 60,000 jobs, and it's 178? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Look, the job market bounced back in a big way in March, and that is good news. Really blowing away expectations.
Yes. I love how, wait, I want to play that part again. He really tried to emphasize it is good news because they don't want this, that this is something that CNN does not want.
March, and that is good news. Really.
It is. Of course it is. Job numbers skyrocketed upward, 178,000 created in March. They expected, as you heard, 60. So a good job all around. This is the golf clap moment at the very least. You know, actually, I thought of that. I would love to have that be the rule. If mainstream media cannot actually say anything kind about Trump, they can't acknowledge whenever he has a success because they hate him so much, they should at least be required to golf clap whenever he does something well. Just lift the hands up, the little, this thing, just a little bit of it, and then go ahead back with your day and all your Trump hatred. But that should be, let's make that an executive order. President Trump, please pass that when you do something that's obviously universally good, mainstream media, while crapping all over you, they can keep doing their typical, I hate this man with a burning passion of 1,000 suns, but they have to be golf clapping as they do that. I would be thrilled with that. That would be awesome. I'm sure people would also say that I'm censoring mainstream media somehow because they wouldn't understand this is a joke, and a joke that I would very much enjoy to see. All right, one last thing. I want to play this before we take a break. Gavin Newsom's wife showed how crazy lefty she is, And this is really, really insane. But let's go ahead and play a little bit of what she was bragging about that she does with her kids.
I've given our boys dolls, even if they tear the head off. I've given them dolls to learn that care and caregiving is not just an activity that's reserved for women, but that it's also an activity that is a responsibility of men. What I've done with both my daughters and my sons is if I'm reading a book and the protagonist is a male, I just change the he to a she. And it just normalizes for my sons in particular. Not just, it's not even, I don't even just do it for my girls. I do it for my sons because I want them to see that women can be the center of a story. Uh-huh. That women matter.
Yeah, I gotta wonder exactly how things are going in that house. By the way, I love the fact that she said she gives her boys dolls, even if they rip the heads off, because that would be showing you're a boy. I remember when my sisters would play with Barbies, I would wind up involved in some silly way with the Barbie where like I'd shave its head or something because I wanted it to be military Barbie and not dumb Barbie. And that got me in a lot of trouble very often, but I think I was being the only boy in the room because of course. We don't want to play with Barbies the way that girls do. That's how boys work. All right, we'll take a break. A lot to get to. This is The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X and Twitter. Great ways to stay connected. My name is Craig Collins filling in.
It's our friends over at Ghost Bed. I have this bed. I love my bed. It's brand new. I think we haven't even had it for a week yet, and I already love it. I had a super bougie mattress that I thought was going to be like the be-all, end-all. That you're going to like go off into the sunset with because it's like the, no, it wasn't that bad. We switched to a Ghost Bed and it's just already, it's just constructed better. I can tell the seaming, the materials. It's, I mean, they, the way that they approach it, they don't just like make mattresses, right? They build what they view as engineered sleep systems. So they look at it like a piece of health equipment. It's designed for relief and recovery. It's not just looks and fluff. And so your body should be healing while you're sleeping, not fighting to get you comfortable all night. So I notice a difference immediately. I mean, the temperature's better, less tension. You don't wake up sore. It's just a perfect firmness. And so if you're tossing and turning at night, if you sleep hot, you're reaching for, you're constantly waking up to get comfortable. That's your mattress. Ghost Bed is made to help with this exact issue, supporting cooling, real comfort so you can actually rest. And you get 101 nights to try it for free at home. And if you don't feel the difference, 101 nights, try it at home. If you do not feel the difference, you can send it back risk-free. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana. They're offering all of you out there their lowest price of the season, plus an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake in chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X. A great ways to stay connected to her. Most people are planning to buy candy rather than food for Easter. 92% of people who were asked what they're planning to buy to consume on Easter said candy. I think that's fine. I think if you're ever going to do a candy day, and I actually remember that being the most beneficial part of Easter as a little kid, is you'd go out, you'd pick up the eggs, you'd do all the stuff, whatever the Easter egg hunt was, whether it was in the community or just your backyard, and then you tried to consume just candy for the entire day. At some point, some adult, probably a parent, but maybe a grandparent, an uncle, somebody tried to force feed you something that wasn't candy. But for the most part, that is the way that most kids, I think, and apparently adults, celebrate Easter. I have a chocolate bunny. This is a weird, I'm just admitting odd stuff on the show today, but darn it, I don't care. I have a chocolate Easter bunny that I bought for me that's been sitting in my house for a week now as my treat for Easter. I was with my wife in a grocery store. I'm going to get myself one. I haven't gotten one of these in forever. And I got to tell you, as a 40-year-old man, it's been very difficult to not eat that bunny before Easter. It's looking at me. It's begging me to be consumed. And it looks like pretty good chocolate. So I think I'm making a mistake, but darn it, I'm learning that I can wait for things. Other stuff out there, John Cena was asked a question about the WWE being, quote, ready for a transgender wrestler. This is a strange, strange question. And Cena gives a awful, awful, very woke answer. Let's go ahead and play that.
Do you think WWE is ready for a transgender wrestler?
I'm a storyteller, my friend. And that's what we do in WWE. And it doesn't... It's not segregated to sex, race, creed, religion, any of that. So as long as the story is good, it belongs in WWE.
That's wonderful. I appreciate it.
The woke TMZ guy was so happy to hear that answer. Guess what? The story would not be good if you have a biological female that says she's a dude wrestling other guys in the WWE, guys who look like John Cena, and she's winning. That's not a good story. It's a bad story, bro. So I just think that that's a uniquely funny answer to that question, because a lot of people already understand that the wrestling in the WWE is fake. That would feel even more difficult for you to check your reality, whatever, at the door to be like, this is totally fine. But so I love, within the context of his answer, being able to look at him and say, yeah, that'd be a terrible story, bro. That would not go well. And you'd look like a complete, well, you know what, if you were losing to a girl. All right. Other things out there. Not, no offense to the ladies. I don't think many of you would do a good job legitimately wrestling John Cena. Just saying it clearly for everyone to understand. More things out there. I thought this was interesting. An Indiana man tried to steal a Bud Light truck. Apparently, Bud Light is back in the good graces of a lot of people. But this dude, who was probably intoxicated, he led police on a chase. He crashed into a police cruiser at one point. All this because he was trying to steal the truck that had the sweet, sweet Bud Light in it. I gotta feel like there's a better way to steal stuff, dude. I don't like helping criminals. This is not usually my response to the... Well, actually, it probably is. I should be honest. This is probably the first thing I think of, is what they did wrong and how to do it better. I don't think trying to steal the whole truck is the right move. I think trying to get a case out of a store somewhere is probably going to go better for you. And honestly, you don't need more than that. You shouldn't do that. Hopefully, you get arrested for stealing anything. But I'm just saying, like, I never get the guys who swing this big. That they're like, you know what? Just a little bit of thieving would not be enough for me. I want to thieve to a degree that nobody succeeds when they thieve to, and go ahead and try to steal everything. And then, you know, as I said, it fails and you fail miserably. But this guy was arrested. Luckily, no one was hurt. And crashing into the police cruiser is the unique additional, I'm just a complete piece of crap move. That's probably not going to go well for you in the courtroom when you have to deal with that. It's probably not an additional thing that makes anything better. One last thing. This is sad. The Masters is next weekend. Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from it. This is, of course, in the heels of Tiger Woods. Definitely not playing in it because of the stuff that's been going on with Tig after the car crash. But it is, I'm always disappointed when Phil and Tiger aren't in the Masters because that's a generation of golf. And maybe these guys were not the likely ones to win the event, but a generation of golf that I remember very fondly. And it's nice that those guys are still occasionally playing in these and potentially doing quite well in some of these big events. You always cheer for them. You always cheer for the old guy when he's still playing a sport. I think that's what it is. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners that help bring you the program, it's the folks over at American Financing, America's home for home loans. If you've looked at your credit card statements lately, you know you're working 40, 50 hours a week just to buy groceries and gas, things you used to be able to no problem afford. And now you're getting charged 20% interest for the privilege. 20%. This is all designed to keep you underwater and stuck in a cycle of debt. But American Financing is doing something about it. They're doing something big banks hate, actually helping people get out from underneath high interest debt. They've got mortgage rates in the fives. They're helping homeowners use their hard-earned equity to pay off some of those punishing credit cards. And the average savings are about $800 a month. That brings real breathing room to your budget. Now, it takes about 10 minutes to talk to a salary-based mortgage consultant. So there's no upfront fees, there's no obligation, just a simple conversation to see how much you could save. And if you start today, you could even delay up to two mortgage payments. That means immediate cash in your pocket when you need it most. Give American Financing a call at 866-885-1332. That's 866-885-1332, or visit americanfinancing.net/Dana.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the 5 start at 6.196% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-885-1332 for details about credit costs and terms, or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake in chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Are great ways to stay connected to her. A lot of things happening all the time on her social media pages, and you should be paying attention to them because she does an amazing job. She's on TV. Dana Lash is everywhere. Very famous human being. I want to talk about something that I thought was really interesting that happened in Houston, Texas. And I'm going to bring on a state senator at some point on the show today, maybe in a little bit, maybe a little bit later. His name is State Senator Paul Bettencourt, but he is calling for the resignation of the top judge in Harris County, which is in Houston, Texas, one of the biggest cities in the country. And here's why. And this is why I think this is actually a valuable discussion on a national level, because politicians, by and large, and Lena Hidalgo among them as the, highest ranking judge in Harris County, are just pieces of crap. They're just generally huge pieces of poop. There's no other way to say it. Here's what happened. Lena Hidalgo showed up at the Houston Rodeo. And the rodeo is one of the biggest things, I think, in the entire world, if not the entire country. And she demanded really fancy tickets every single day to the rodeo. And for several days, I think the rodeo actually gave her fancy tickets. And then eventually they said no to the nicest tickets. And she went crazy. She called it sexism, racism, and a whole bunch of other things. But it outed her as being a uniquely crappy human who wanted a whole bunch of favors from the biggest rodeo in the country. Let's bring on Senator Paul Bettencourt. He is with us now. He was the first, and I think pretty much the highest ranking, most predominant politician in the state to call for the resignation of what seems to be a giant piece of crap that is the highest ranking judge in Harris County. Senator Bettencourt, I don't know if you'd say it the way I just did, but welcome to the show.
Well, let me just try to frame it for your national audience.
Thank you.
And for Craig, what Dana and everybody needs to know, this person is effectively the AOC of the West.
Yes.
You know, a person came in, no job experience, effectively, got catapulted to, we call the county judge. Everybody else will think of it as the county CEO. Okay.
Sure.
And she was a leftist progressive socialist from the get-go. She wants, universal basic income during COVID. She wanted to release 4,000 violent criminals from the jail because she was afraid they were going to get COVID, which, of course, would have caused a crime bomb in Houston. She's opposed, locking violent criminals up because the actual criminal judges in Harris County were releasing literally violent criminals like popcorn. Okay. And so she's not even a lefty. I mean, this is the real, and she calls herself a socialist Democrat. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had tons of public policy fights with her from the conservative side. And so finally, what you described is true, but you left out a couple details. Okay.
Fire.
One. Yeah, I know. Fire away. One was really important, is that no one else of all the elected officials in the nation's third largest city, fourth largest county, asked for free tickets from the rodeo.
Right. Right.
She gets $9,000 of them. Okay. And she has a already paid for county suite. So when the rodeo, which is a charity, finally got sick of it, they told her no. And because this person is, she's now missed four county meetings in a row, county court meetings in a row. She's petulant, yeah, immature, you know, off the rail socialist. Okay. But she believes she's entitled to it. And see, right, Craig, for the national audience, and I think a lot of people will resonate on this comment, these leftist progressive socialists believe your stuff is theirs. They believe government stuff is theirs, yes, and they demand it because, oh, she was going to take out, you know, a former mayor and her kids, and she gets down to the floor, and maybe or maybe not, she has a county commissioner's wife with her. We're not even sure. And she gets into an argument where the people are professional and correct. And then when she can't get her way with our or somebody else's stuff, she says, I'm victimized because I'm a woman and I'm an Hispanic.
Yeah. And now it's great. That's the biggest part. Sorry, Senator Betancourt. That's the biggest part to me, is that not only was she upset she didn't get the free stuff, she said it was racism and sexism, which is the go-to of people on the left, especially as far left as her. It has to be something else. It can't be that you were abusing your position for a lot of free stuff you didn't deserve anyway. It has to be that the rodeo is racist and sexist.
Right. And so she's, you know, she's made these attacks on the mayor, who happened to be a Democrat. She's attacked Republicans and Democrats on county commissioner's court. So I had enough and said, that's it. We need to punch her out. And now here is the higher public policy problem. In Texas, we get hurricanes. And anybody who lives Florida, you know, on the Gulf Coast, knows that you may or may not have to evacuate. The problem is the judge, we call her, it has the highest authority. And what she says goes for whether or not 4.4 million people or a percentage of them hit the road or not. And yeah, she doesn't have the judgment to do it. I mean, it's beyond bad. Okay, and she's not even showing up. So we could have a hurricane that comes right at Houston, which is an important, you know, commerce point for the entire country because of energy. Right. And we don't know what she's going to do or if she's going to even show up. But this is right, leftist, progressive, socialist propaganda that comes out of her mouth when she is told what every teenager needs to hear. The word is no.
Well, and here, there's one other thing that I think is a very macro conversation for the national audience, no matter where you live, no matter who you are. You're trying to hold someone, a public serving official, accountable. You're also a state senator, but you're doing the thing that Americans want to see done. You're begging for this person to be treated like a regular person who's not above any set of standards or rules. And the behavior she had, the demanding that she be let in. She said she was like, beat up, I think, at one point, too, which was crazy. And the rodeo had to defend itself against her claims. But this is a person that is abusing.
They had body cams. You know?
Right.
I mean, and of course, nobody even. I mean, it's preposterous. Look, for me, I'm a state senator. I'm active on social media. You can check it out at Paul Betancourt. .com, you know, for the website, go there. But sure, that post, Craig, had 1.33 million views.
Yes.
And it wasn't just Republicans that were mad. It was independents, Democrats, everybody's sick of this entitlement behavior, because at the bottom of this, you know, AOC mantra, you know, progressive socialism is they own your stuff. They own the charity stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't get in the way.
Yeah. And if you do get in the way, you have to be a racist and a sexist.
Right. So, you know, I actually had reporters call me and say, well, is this the first time you've asked her to resign? And I said, yes, it is. You know, I immediately put it in my Facebook post, because this is the problem. You know, everybody is, we got high cost. She jacked up taxes 15% one year with no justification, you know, and they skate by until finally their behavior is so horrible that, you know, State Senator Betancourt, you know, Commissioner Ramsey, a whole bunch of people start piling on and say she needs to quit. Now, here's the other side. The Democrats won't talk about it, though. See, we had another county judge who got convicted of a felony, and the state senator and I that are next door to this county said, look, you've been convicted of a felony. You have to go. You should resign. Happens to be a Republican. Now, the Democrats will not speak, you know, against a leftist, progressive, socialist Democrat, because they're worried about getting torn apart in the primary.
Sure. Yeah, but they're totally fine with a Republican losing their job. I get that. It was interesting, something you said a second ago, Senator Betancourt, when reporters were calling you and basically accusing you of having a personal vendetta. They could not accept the facts of this story. So they said, you're probably someone who's been calling for Lena Hidalgo's job for years now. That's the assumption they make. I hate that, too, that exists so often in politics, especially on the left, that regardless of the quality of the argument, they want to turn it into a personal attack on the person making the argument. And luckily, they missed. They took a shot and it swung and missed, because you had not called for a job before. But I just think that's a really interesting thing for you to say, that that's immediately where the reporters in Houston went.
Well, I've been around for a while. So when I first posted my X, I said, look, by the way, before anybody asks, okay, I haven't asked for a resignation till now, but because a lot of these folks are not industrious, they're lazy. They hadn't even read it. But let's flip it to this. Can you imagine if a Republican, okay, or, you know, a Republicano for the spoof back at her trying to say that she's, you know, Latina,
sure,
and therefore, you know, victim of all this. Can you imagine if I walked down there, Craig, demanded tickets, had a free suite, wouldn't take the word no. I mean, I would be on left coast, west coast, the BBC, and they'd be pulverizing me.
Yes.
Because
especially
Republicans behave this way.
Yeah, well, especially you as a white guy, if you actually said it was racism and sexism, too, by the way, that would be horrible for the society.
Well, I hadn't even thought of that defense. I hadn't even thought of that defense till now.
I know. I know, right. It's not usually the way that my brain works either. I do want to say one other thing before we're about out of time. We got to let you go in just a bit. You're going to do a big show, KSEV Radio in Houston, Texas, at 4:00 Central Time today. And you'll be talking all about Artemis II. I think you're going to have a guest on and stuff that knows insider things about that. But I wanted to give you an opportunity, State Senator, to give me a little bit of your reaction to what I thought was a really cool patriotic moment as we fired astronauts into space to go toward the moon, not land on the moon this time, but we're starting that all up again. I thought that was great.
Well, look, you know, either you're doing something that captures the imagination of the public and you're trying to push the frontiers. And quite frankly, as my guest coming on, his name is Eric Berger. He writes for Ars Technica, said, you know, we're trying to stay ahead of the Chinese and the Russians, or you sit on your butts and you don't do a thing. Now, the launch was fabulous. And at 4:20 on, you know, KSEV at 700 AM, you know, we're going to discuss it. And this guy's just not a normal guest. He's the guy that wrote the books about Elon Musk and SpaceX early years, Liftoff and that whole trilogy. He's really plugged in. And I'll give you a little tip for your audience. One of the things that's hardly known is that to make sure that they could get that finicky old technology, you know, rocket up, SpaceX actually sent them a team to help them do it.
Oh, wow.
Because they knew how important it was for America exceptionalism to get that rocket, light that candle, get that rocket up into space, and then go set a manned space, you know, distance record from Earth. So that's some interesting stuff, and you'll hear more about it on the show. So appreciate the time, Craig, and you know, Dana's audience, and you know, has been, and of course her, been great on issues over the years. So it's an honor to be on with you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Senator Paul Bettencourt. You can check him out on social media. As he said, Vote Bettencourt is still his Facebook handle, so you can check him out there or his website, any of that stuff. And a very cool story about how SpaceX did help NASA with the launch of Artemis 2 just the other day. And you'll find that all in the podcast and stuff, too, for the Amigos, which is the name of the show that they host on KSEV Radio in Houston, Texas. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Did you know one Auntie Anne's pretzels is the same amount as an hour of work in Pennsylvania? How is a pretzel worth an hourly wage? Because we keep printing money. Our government is living beyond our means. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake in chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man. This is The Dana Show, D. Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. A great way to stay connected to her. I'll keep throwing it out there so I can finally get over 1,000 people that follow me at Radio Craig Z on social media for me. If you want to follow and help me feel more proud the next time I'm at a family event where I have a very famous relative who has to have way more Twitter followers than I. All right. Anyway, moving on. Florida stories. First, a Florida woman was trying to rekindle her marriage with her ex, her husband. I guess for some reason during the attempted rekindling, she burned down the house. That's probably not going to go well. I love every part. I can't help this story. Melissa Dunham is her name. She's 40. She's lives in Orlando. She was arrested and charged with one count of arson on a dwelling, two counts of possession of controlled substances, of course, one count of possession of narcotic paraphernalia. But she was trying to rekindle. Like, that's what she told the cops. Like, you know what? I just really wanted him to see the greatness that is me. And when that didn't go the way that I was hoping it would go, I decided to burn everything down. This is the kind, I didn't see a picture of her. Oh, no, wait, I do. I see the mugshot. Not very good looking. I was hoping for a little bit better there. I was going to say that this is the kind of person that crazy to hot scale has to be a certain level for you to try to live through whatever that relationship must be. Because an argument that ends with a house that's burned down, that's a lot of crazy. And so I was assuming there was more hot than there actually was there. There was not enough for me to tolerate any of the craziness that exists in this relationship. But that's uniquely Florida to be like, I'm just going to go over and talk to him and see if we can get back together. And then halfway through, I'm just burning this whole thing down. Three women were accused of stealing $32,000 worth of baby formula from stores throughout Florida. I guess for some reason they decided to team up. They thought they'd go better as a group, and they uniquely targeted infant formula. Yes, it is very expensive. The National Retail Federation reports a 19% increase in shoplifting in general over the last couple of years. So that's, I guess, a thing that more and more people are doing in some way, shape, or form. But a 28-year-old, a 34-year-old, and a 38-year-old woman all decided that it was their gig, their job, from November of last year to January of this year to steal as much baby formula as possible. I don't know why that would be, by the way, that you'd go that road. And say, I know it's probably because you need it. I get it. I get all the things. Still a crime. Still not allowed to do it. But I imagine there might have been. I keep wanting to help people thieve better, and I shouldn't do that. I don't want anyone out there doing the thieving. But I imagine there might have been better things to target to steal than just baby formula, because there's a finite amount of that. And if the store is missing a whole bunch of it, they're going to figure out that you took it, outside of the fact that you're also on cameras and doing stuff where maybe people noticed you did it. I feel like even if you want to eventually turn the stealing into baby formula, you got to have a plan of in between. You can't go right to a baby formula. That seemed like part of the mistake to me. And then finally, one last one, and this feels uniquely Florida too. A good Samaritan who got out of his car to try to help another Florida person that was on the highway was beaten. He wasn't killed. He said that it felt like he was trying to be beaten to death by the person who beat the crap out of him. He had a brain bleed and broken ribs. Thank God this person's okay. But he said all he was doing was trying to be a good Samaritan and help. And the person that was on the road that, you know, saw him decided that the right response to trying to help someone is to beat the crap out of them. If there's even footage of it, you can see. The lesson, do not pull over in Florida to help anybody. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman-Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake in chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is The Dana Show. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. A gas station in Big Sur, California is trying to charge $10 per gallon for gas. They can only fit $9.99 on the sign. It's not designed to go higher than that. So they're having a bit of a problem because they actually, I think, want to charge 10 and some change. But there were customers talking about the ridiculousness of that high of a price for gas. And that is very high. That's much higher than the national average. So this one gas station is doing the extra gouging move, I guess. I'm not sure. But I love the fact that they couldn't put the real price or the price they wanted on the sign, because the people who made the gas signs never envisioned $10 gas. Here we go.
I just saw it right now, and I couldn't believe it. It's not something I'm used to.
I'm a tourist, but for me, that's too high, too expensive.
There in LA, we're about like $6 max. which is something that, you know, it hits everyone like crazy. But here it's $10. Never seen that.
Probably could charge $20 a gallon. And if you have to get gas, you have to get gas.
You do have to get gas, but you should probably drive around to at least another gas station. The thing about that move of charging whatever price you want is there's usually a gas station close by that's at least going to undercut it a little bit. The funniest thing, actually, where I live, there's two gas stations next to each other with wildly different prices. One of them is about $1.50 cheaper almost all the time than the other one. They're both right off the highway. And I'm fascinated with people who go to the more expensive gas station. Like, I don't know what mentality that, because they're literally across the street from each other. Yes, the more expensive gas station looks like a nicer spot. It's got the nicer convenience store, all that stuff. The one next door, it does not look as nice, but the gas is ridiculously less expensive, and there's not a sign or something that says it's worse gas. And every time I go and I fill up at the cheap place, because I'm a smart person, I'm mystified at the amount of people on the other side. I'm like, how do you do that? Are you just not paying attention? Do you just not care? No matter how much money I have as a human, I'm always going to care about that, especially if it's that easy. It's not like I have to drive around, make a few turns and go to another street to get this gas. It's across the street. And it's not one of those 3 cents less kind of challenges. It's usually like a dollar cheaper, which it's just hilarious to me, again, to see it. And I don't know why this story made me think of that. You probably don't care, but it's absolutely a thing that next time you're in a place where you see a decent difference in price from one to the other, just go ask people why. That's what I'd like for everyone to do. That's a PSA for the world. Why are you over here buying gas so much more expensive? All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake in chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit vitalproteins.com to get started. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show, D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. 92% of young adults say they leave their crap at their parents' houses. This is usually when you move out somewhere. So if you're a younger adult and you move from, I guess, one apartment to another, or maybe you get a house or something changes. But empty nesters usually allow their children to bring some boxes over. And then apparently the parents usually don't throw the stuff out. I thought that was interesting that parents are asked, hey, do you plan on ever, throwing that out, or do you make your kid come and get it? And about 50% of parents say they'll come get it eventually. Where 27% of the kids actually say they have no plan to ever get that stuff. So most of them do plan to get it, but some say no. I'm sure at times in my life I've done this. I live pretty far away from where the rest of my family lives now, so it's not something I would be doing anytime recently. But by and large, I think you just you suck it up and you get the storage facility of some kind. If you need some temporary housing for your belongings and not you, I think you go with, and actually I liked pods a lot. The stuff where they drop off the box in front of your house, you load it up, they take it, and then if you move somewhere, they bring it to you again. I don't know if it's the cheapest option. I think it's pretty comparable for storage to anything else, but I like it. This is not a commercial for pods, but I guess it's becoming one because they do a pretty good job. They fixed the toilet on the Artemis II. For anyone that didn't know that it broke for a while, it did. And no, Apollo astronauts did not, in fact, have a toilet. They had to use, I think, plastic bags for the things they were doing. That would be restroom related. They have a toilet now on the Artemis II, which is very fancy. But some things broke on it, but they were able to fix those things after 6 hours of troubleshooting. And the toilet is now good to go for the rest of the flight. I like that they took the 6 hours, you know, because right at the beginning of the flight, if certain things break, I don't know if it's worth 6 hours of effort. Anything that would cause you to not be alive anymore, absolutely at the top of the list of things you take as long as you can to fix. Just under that toilet. I feel like that's one of the other things you're like, yeah, we're fixing this. I don't care how many hours goes into it. I don't care how much NASA has to figure out a unique way around any of the challenges we face. We're doing this thing. And then one last one. I do like this. A woman in West Virginia was arrested for felony burglary. She broke into someone's home. The weird part about it is it was a chicken coop, not like a traditional house the way you and I envision one. Apparently, two people in West Virginia were living in a coop with chickens. And then a third person tried to intrude that house, if that's what you call it. This isn't Florida. This is a West Virginia thing. I think somebody was even stabbed, but everybody's okay now, which is good that someone survived that. But that's a uniquely weird thing to see the chicken coop house on the block and decide that's the one you're going to break into and try to rob. Glad that they eventually stopped the person and arrested them that was trying to thieve in the chicken coop. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Mariah Rose, co-host of Full Circle and the creator behind Hoops for Hotties. Whenever I'm headed out to a workout first thing in the morning or getting ready to yap about sports with the girls, I'm drinking Gatorade Lower Sugar. I've always been a Gatorade girly, but I don't always need more sugar in my life. So Gatorade Lower Sugar is perfect. It has 75% less sugar than regular Gatorade and all the electrolytes. It hydrates better than water and has no artificial flavors, sweeteners, or colors. Try Gatorade Lower Sugar today. Available on Gatorade.com and in stores nationwide.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like Bad Dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.